Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, Pastor Chrissy was joined by Julie Green for a conversational sermon titled, Give Thanks. Here's Heather with our scripture reading.
Psalm 95, 1 through 7. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The words from the 95th Psalm, they remind us that when we come into the house of God, we are to come with thanksgiving and with gratitude. And that's exactly how we want to start out this season of stewardship, is in a spirit of gratitude. We want to remember that all that we have and all that we are comes from God. And so today, as we begin thinking about scripture, as we begin to open ourselves to hear a word from the Spirit about gratitude, our theme is give thanks. And thinking about Psalm 95, remembering those words, let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving, I couldn't help but want to talk to my friend Julie Green about the theme of giving thanks. What does it mean to live a life of gratitude? And so I'm here with Julie. Julie, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
And thanks for being our guinea pig in the first of a three-part series, conversations about stewardship, give thanks, give life, give generously. So today we're thinking about Psalm 95 as we kind of frame our conversation. But more importantly, during this time of worship, we're going to hear from Julie a little bit about her story. Who were her teachers of gratitude? Where did she learn about that concept as a spiritual practice? And how is God teaching her now as she grows and learns more each and every day about gratitude? So Julie, let's start out at the very beginning. Let's talk about some of your first teachers. Who taught you about gratitude or about generosity?
So the first person that comes to my mind is my mom. She is such a fixture for everyone around her. She's just always giving, and you know, if not even in just her church, but in my life and in our friends' lives and family's lives, where can she be giving? And that translated into us finding our church home, which was at Greystone when I was very small. And gratitude and generosity was such a foundational piece of that. Growing up in Sunday school and then the youth, all of our activities were centered around looking outside ourselves, and projects and service and how we could, you know, be ministers outside the walls of the church and give back to our community. And so I think growing up in that environment, having, you know, people like my mom and even my sister, Annie, and the work that she does, and having those people around me to constantly look to people, whether it was my Sunday school teacher or someone in my home, kind of keeps you in check when you see people around you, you know, practicing that as a young, small, and growing person.
Those mission trips that you talk about, those experiences of putting feet to faith, right? When you're learning about gratitude and generosity, were those like, bring me on that journey with you. How were they? Were they easy? Were they difficult? Like, what are some of the specific memories from those things?
So I, as a person, like me personally, they were not always easy. For me, I can vividly remember being in the Salvation Army soup kitchen as a first grader and realizing that there was a bus that took my friend from school there. And I had grasped onto the concept, oh, not everybody lives like me. Like, not everybody comes home to parents, a home, and meals. And so I just, that always stands out in my mind. And that continued, you know, the service projects that we did and the youth, you know, outings that we had and things that we participated in. I think that being in that uncomfortable place of, you know, when you're giving generously to whether it's a group of people or a ministry or any kind of organization where you are looking outside yourself and you're seeing life in many different facets. I think that that is unsettling for, you know, young youth, and kids. And I also think that that's good. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that uncomfortable and that uneasy, leads to spiritual growth, and personal growth. And it makes I just kind of always gained a hunger for it. Like once you've experienced that and you grow through that and you know that that is something that in the moment is hard, but brings you joy. You just kind of start to yearn for that and you look for that. So it did become, I will say, easy. I never really wanted it to feel normal. Mm-hmm. When I was doing those, you know, kinds of projects that felt uncomfortable, but, and then some of them were just, you know, us youth goofing off at the food bank, you know, piling bags of flour into boxes and, you know, getting yelled at to quit breaking them. But, you know, I think it was a healthy mixture of the two that really helped me to grow.
Yeah. And, you know, in preparing for this conversation, mm-hmm. It was really important to you that if you're going to come on screen, right, if you're going to be on YouTube talking about giving thanks,
yeah.
It's not going to be that, I remember you saying, it's not going to be that surface level kind of platitude, right. Of like, you're having a hard time, give thanks, you know, or like start, do a gratitude journal and yeah. Nothing that is much deeper than that. And I hear that same sentiment kind of coming out as you talk about being in those uncomfortable spaces or being stretched outside of yourself, and how gratitude kind of emerges mm-hmm. out of those less comfortable, disorienting experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think that that really resonates with what I find in Psalm 95. In verse 4, the psalm says, "In God's hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are God's also." And the King James Version calls the depths of the earth, it says, in the deep places. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about your words, uncomfortable places, or being stretched outside of myself, that really resonates with what I see here in Scripture about those deep places. You know, that's within God's grip mm-hmm. as well. And so I wonder if you would feel comfortable being vulnerable enough to share with us what some of those deep places for you have been.
I feel very strongly that, you know, when someone says practicing gratitude, that's very easy to, I wake up in the morning and I write down three things I'm grateful for. And then my day is set and it's wonderful. And that works for a lot of people. But for me, I think that especially with that scripture, I mean, gosh, the deep places, because for me, that is kind of the seed for gratitude. Is those places, those deep, what was it? The deep,
just the deep places,
Yeah. That
isn't that profound.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to stick with me because I think that the places in my life and, you know, look, we've all been in the places of family discord or illness or financial problems or, the list could go on.
Like worry. Know? That's a big one right now, right?
Yes. Worry.
Just loneliness, worry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly. And I think for me, my mind goes to my husband, James, who was active duty for 8 years, in the Navy, and he was on an aircraft carrier. So for about 3.5 years, 90% of the time, I think we did some like crazy calculation, it was 85%, 90% of the time he was gone. Mm. And we had Mason, it was just Mason at the time. And I was working full time. And, you know, later on in those years, he was deployed for 9 months. And whenever I like think deep places or uncomfortable, my mind always goes there. And it's funny to think about that time because gratitude existed in so many places in the very same breath that uncomfortable and almost desolate, you know, because this person who I love and who is my partner, you know, and not even the logistical of like the raising of, you know, Mason and all of that, but like my person mm-hmm. is not there. And I just remember being so caught up, A, in the generosity of what he was doing mm-hmm. for right. our country, our family, and how passionately he did it. But also, I mean, I can just remember it like physically hurting, like knowing that we were months away from any kind of, you know, togetherness. And it was terrible. Like, I'm not even going to, you know, try yeah. to act like that was anything other than one of like the loneliest, like you just said, yeah. it was really lonely, but also I had such amazing things happen during that time. You know, we were away from family, but I built this tribe around me, and they took such great care of me. And then, of course, you know, at the time, little Mason was like 3 years old, but I had all of these things happening in my life that were hard and uncomfortable. And then I had all of these other things that, like I just said, in the same breath, were so joyful. And, you know, going back to what I said, the things that people have been through, you know, whether it's what worry that mm-hmm. you were just saying, or something like I'm talking about, I think the thing that I have been most grateful for in my faith and in my spiritual practices is that that's okay. Mm. That I've had some really uncomfortable conversations with God in those moments. I've never really treated prayer like a one way. Mm-hmm. It has always been conversations. And so that for me, having the safe space growing up to be able to do that, I think set me up really, really well to be able to get through those and know that those tough conversations with God and those really deep places, they make it, you know, I can remember him coming off the plane, and it just made the joyful moments become that much more joyful, and they spur you towards so much more because you have let that in. Mm-hmm. You've let that uncomfortable. You felt that. You just used the word vulnerable. And I think that's a really good word, because I think, you know, there's a tendency when someone in our life is hurting or they are lonely, you just want to make it better for them. And I think sometimes it's just the person saying, like, this is hard. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because it's not always going to be hard. And maybe that is what you're saying to God, because I had a lot of those conversations, you know, and God telling me, like, it's not always going to be this way. So yeah, I think it's learning that joy and pain, or joy and loneliness, or joy and worry, those things exist sometimes in the same breath, like just the same breath, leads you to bigger gratitude, I guess.
Yeah. You know, listening to you talk about that, especially kind of the two-edged lesson,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Or experience that's in some of those deep places. You know, like a lot of deeply spiritual things, there's a mountain and there's a valley,
yeah.
right? There's joy and there is pain, there is suffering and there is relief.
Right.
You know, all those things often go together, and so often God teaches us. And so, you know, as I'm thinking about the psalm and thinking about, you know, what do we want to say here today?
Yeah.
You know, I think there's like a call and response kind of thing happening
right.
with us and God when we're in
yes.
these moments. And if we can't be authentically who we are with our call or our response, then we can't expect authenticity on the other side. So all that to say, like, if God is generous with us, and our response is gratitude, mm-hmm. right? Or if our response is to say thanks, like Anne Lamott's book, Help, Thanks, mm-hmm. Wow, right? Help.
Yeah.
How many times do we say that prayer over
right.
and over again? And sometimes we're stuck in help. Let's be honest about that. But then when God comes through, as God does, one way or another,
right?
You know, our response is thanks. And I don't know about you, but when I have been in those deep places in my own life, thanks doesn't feel like enough.
No.
Right?
No.
And it's not enough. And so one of the ways that I have felt very convicted lately about those deep spaces and saying thanks all the time is not just to say it, but to try to live it, right? Mm-hmm. So like when you've been in your deep places and you've had a tribe that comes around you, I know that your response has been to learn how to embody that tribe. Right. And so you're much better. Your muscles are stronger than they were before because you've been there.
Yep.
And so I think that's a spiritual practice of learning how to flex those generosity muscles with God and with one another.
I do agree. Yeah.
So thinking more, you know, you've told us some about your past. You've told us about who your, you know, who your primary teachers were about gratitude and generosity. You've talked some about some of those deep places in your life. I wonder if you might tell us, like, what's going on now with Julie and gratitude and Julie and giving thanks. Like, what does that look like in your life now?
You know, if you'd asked me this question, I bet a lot of people are thinking this. If you'd asked me this question a year ago, my answer would have
been
be
a little different.
So much different. But gratitude for me lately, you know, even when we relocated back to Raleigh a couple of years ago, two and a half years ago, it's, I mean, obviously with the pandemic going on and you talk about joy and gratitude, it becomes, your inkling is, it's like, well, it's hard to see that.
Yeah.
It's hard to see that right now. And it's hard to feel that right now. Yeah. Especially when for so many of us here at Greystone, I mean, I think I can speak for a lot of people saying like this, these walls are a place of joy and a place where we can come, you know, live that. Mm-hmm. And so it's been different. But I will say it has been a time of, there has been joy in whatever deep places, you know, this past year has brought. But for me, I think, you know, when we moved back to Raleigh and we rejoined here at Greystone and, you know, now I have James here, you know, we've got Walker. It's a lot different than it looked 5 years ago. It's exactly what you said. It's just living it. It's, you know, we've been through deep places and we've come, as you said, God always gets you to the other side, even if the other side doesn't look like what you thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there's been a lot of times in my life, especially as a military spouse, where what I thought it should look like is not at all where I ended up.
Right.
Married to someone in the military for one. but I think knowing that, you know, that God does get you there. The joy has just, it's been, I look back at some of the things that I've been able to do the past year, you know, even with our Sunday school class, like I have found such comfort and joy in backyard socially distanced coffee, like with some of the other parents where we can get together and just kind of like breathe a sigh of relief and talk about what's going on. Now that I have this on film and recorded, I will never be able to deny it, but you know, the time with your kids that you're getting during this,
wait a minute, repeat that.
I know exactly. Like ooh,
the quality time with your kids,
with your family, because I think the instinct is to look at what we've lost or what we've missed or what is lacking, that we've had to give up, if you will. And so, as I said before, you know, when joy and pain or joy and loneliness exists at the same time, that's been true. You know, there's been plans that have been canceled and there's been just all of these things that have been, you know, kind of thrown at us the past year. But it's also, I think when you have learned, like you were saying, to flex those muscles, it does become a lot easier to find those places where even in what may feel like a deep place, you know, we're also in a time of joy. Whether that's as a church family or as my family. And so it becomes a little harder to find, but I do, I mean, I look at the ways that, you know, the meetings here at church that I've attended and like the coffee talks and it's the resilience has given me just immense gratitude that I'm able to be a part of all of that and the ministering that happens through that. It's just been really beautiful. And I think it's compelling and I hope that it's compelling, you know, to other people in the church to, to give back, because when you're talking about living it, mm-hmm. right?
It's right.
It's looking at ways, you know, it's looking around. It's like you're cleaning your house. Like, what can I do first?
Yeah.
Where can I be productive first? And so that looks different for everyone.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think from an early age, you're taught to put in the offering plate, right? That mm-hmm. goes around, which is, you know, that's the first thing you're taught. It's tithing. And
that's
I think,
right.
you know, for me, it's also been a great lesson to where else? Like, where can I start to look, and where can I start to find where I can take my, either I can take my gratitude, or I can take my uncomfortableness and find somewhere that I can really steward or minister that here. You know, so my professional life in marketing and communications, I've you know, tried to be very helpful with that with the church and step into places where that's helpful, you know, with social media and stuff. Hosting those coffee talks in the backyard, just like I said, it looks different for everyone, but I think that those are places where, you know, people who are sitting at home watching, you know, these sermons and these services at home, I think if you just, you know, you start to exist in that moment, it becomes a lot clearer, like I said earlier, to see spaces where you can live that,
yeah,
that gratitude.
One thing that you said sent my mind like chasing a rabbit. you know, we're talking about how there are places where we're naturally inclined to give.
Yeah.
And there are skills that we know that we have.
Right.
And so we're naturally inclined to kind of share those things. But there are definitely days where some of us wake up and we're like, gosh, I don't have anything to give today.
Yeah.
And those, I think, are really fun opportunities for mm-hmm. us to you know, we're going with that fitness metaphor, right?
Yeah.
Stretch those muscles, lean into spaces that we haven't really worked out in the past, right? So
yeah.
Say you're a treadmill person, like get on the elliptical sometime and see
yeah.
how that feels, you know? So if you're somebody who grew up and the language of generosity that you learned is like time or act of service. These things start to sound like the love languages after a while.
But it works.
But it does. And I really think we're all works in progress. And God is calling us to be more and more and more generous in all kinds of different ways. And so I think it's a great place to start our conversation about stewardship and about giving, giving in a way that truly does honor God with all of who we are, not just our pocketbooks, but also with our time,
yeah.
our calendars, you know, our sense of humor, whatever it is
right.
that God has given us. But just to maybe begin each day this month with that, with a prayer. Help, thanks, wow, always works. But, but you know, maybe with a prayer that just sounds a lot like, you know, when I breathe in, I'm going to think thanks. And I'm going to really ask God to show me today what I am to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And then my exhale is going to be, okay, God, now show me how to take that step
yep.
so that I can grow more and more and more like you.
Yep.
Julie, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, gosh. I've loved this. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being our guinea pig.
Of course.
And setting the bar high for these stewardship testimonies. It will be really fun to watch what God does in your life and to walk that journey alongside you, learning from you about how to be more generous and how to explore those valleys, those deep, uncomfortable places with a spirit of gratitude. Thank you.